You know, I was reading a story a while back about a family of four that was taking a vacation off the border of the coast of Maine. And there was a mom and a dad and two little kids in the back seat. And as they were driving around an edgy road on vacation, they came across a sign that said that there was a nudist colony to the left. Well, they had two impressionable young kids in the back seat, and they saw the nudist colony was to the left, so in an effort to protect their offspring, they decided to take a right instead. But to their dismay, the family of four drove right past an entire family from the nudist colony riding their bikes completely naked. And one of the 8-year-old boys in the back seat stuck his hand out the window and said, "Look, Mommy, they're not wearing any safety helmets." This little 8-year-old boy was missing the main point. And I think it's a great illustration for what we as the body of Christ have done when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. So often we get so enmeshed and focused on this idea that homosexuality is a sin that we forget that homosexuals are people. Christian media publications often paint a very negative and stereotypical picture of gay and lesbian people. Another one of the things that fuels Christian stereotypes of gay and lesbian people is our involvement in politics. Those who are involved in politics are often so angered by the political endeavors of gay rights groups that they can't separate the politics from the people. When I was working for the conservative interest group in Iowa, I witnessed Christian people treating those with whom they disagreed on moral and social issues very disrespectfully. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality, I'm talking about abortion, gambling, euthanasia, anything. And I realized that the political process, for some of us, puts us in attack mode. Now, in some cases, I think it's necessary that we take a stand on political issues. But we need to get our priorities straight. Nobody has any business reading a single book on how to defeat homosexuals politically until you've read a book on how to love them personally. In fact, if we succeed in defeating homosexuals politically, but in the process we alienate them from God's love, then we have won the battle but lost the war. The first concept that I want to illustrate is unconditional love. This kind of love requires that we acknowledge the social and personal struggles faced by gay and lesbian people in our culture and that we fight to make our world a safe place for them. See, as much as the church loves to trumpet the stories of people like me who have overcome homosexuality, oftentimes they've turned a cold shoulder to the needs of those who have embraced their homosexuality, implicitly sending them the message that they have to change their sexual orientation if they want to become eligible for God's love. But real love doesn't say, "I'll love you if you'll change this and this and that about yourself." Real love says, "I love you regardless of whether or not you change." And in fact, that's the only kind of love that causes people to change. So what does this kind of love look like in real life? At Liquid Church in New Jersey, over 200 people attended New Jersey's annual Gay Pride Festival to serve the gay community through practical acts of kindness, like picking up trash, handing out bottled water, and schlepping garbage cans. They called the event Gay Pride Meets Christian Humility. And while I think there's plenty of evidence that those of us in the Christian community hate the sin of homosexuality, I think the question we need to be asking now is, how is the love going to manifest itself? Do we really love the sinner?